Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of We Watch Shudder. My name is JD. Who's here with me?
It's Michelle.
It's Michelle on a Friday afternoon. We've more or less given up any kind of regular schedule for recording. We've cast ourselves into the void. We're just going to see what happens at any time of day when we record these podcasts. For example, I'm going to talk like this.
We cast ourselves Friday into afternoon. The void, and the void spit us back out and went, ugh.
Yeah, if this is your first time tuning in, hi, thanks for joining us on We Watch Shudder. What do we do here? It's right in the name. Don't ask dumb questions. Today we are talking Shudder. Sometimes we don't, but today we are. Michelle, what are we talking about today? This is one you were real excited about.
Yeah, we are talking about Found Footage 3D.
Found Footage 3D. This was an exclusive or an original?
I think
it was an exclusive. I think it's an exclusive, or at least it was when it was initially released.
Sweet. It totally is an exclusive. I didn't even know that. I just wanted to talk
Found
about
Footage
it.
3D. Of course, if you've been listening for a long time, you know Michelle is a major Found Footage horror fan. I over the 2 years of doing this, I've said a lot of things like I like a couple specific Found Footage movies, but I don't really like those in general. And there's like a couple specific ghost movies. Here's what I've figured. There's no kind of horror movie that I just like flat out, right? I've realized I'm a real curmudgeon and I only like a little bit, but I do like a little bit of everything. We're going to find out how I felt about Found Footage 3D in 2D. Because
you're
I don't.
Renaissance, man.
Yeah, I had to watch. This was a 3D movie that I had to watch in 2D because I don't I don't just keep a spare set of 3D glasses laying around to watch random 3D horror movies from the mid 2000s.
I have
3D
glasses
do.
Because so I went to Sharkboy and
you even
and
have
Lava
the red
Girl.
Blue stereoscopics.
Yeah, I do because I went to
Jesus.
Sharkboy and Lava Girl and I went to it on a Friday with my dad and it was a great time. But at the time, I only had one contact in and I was afraid he would be mad at me because the movie was not in 3D. So I was just watching a movie that was red and blue. And then I admitted to it on Saturday and he was like, oh, my God, we have to go see it again. So then I saw that movie a second time in theaters and I have both Sharkboy and Lava Girl 3D glasses because of that reason. Also, I own Shrek 3D and that's a great movie.
All right. Well, yeah. So there's the history of Michelle's possession of red blue stereoscopic 3D glasses.
Yeah, I love them.
I have no such thing. Haven't for I would wager a solid 30 years.
You're missing
if
out.
If not more. So I did not get to enjoy this film in glorious 3D. I watched, but 3D is in the title, so I watched Found Footage 3D 2D. Michelle, let's get. I was gonna read this. Not what are we doing? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not prepared for this.
You can't even blame it on the time because we're always like this.
Oh, I will always blame it on the time. That's my crutch, right? Like that's my excuse. It's the clock is
accept.
A scapegoat. Yeah, the clock is a scapegoat. Anyway, plot for this movie, if you've never seen it before, surprise, it's a found footage movie. That's why it's called Found Footage 3D. A group of independent filmmakers travel to a cabin in a remote part of Central Texas to film the first ever 3D found footage movie. Found Footage 3D, a Shudder exclusive. That was the first line briefly edited from the plot description on Wikipedia because, once again, Shudder wrote a novel. IMDb was a little spoilery. Who are these people?
Who are any of us?
Here's what I've discovered, Michelle, is a lot of people genuinely have different ideas on what does and doesn't constitute a spoiler. Like, I don't want to know, like, we did Late Night with the Devil on our most recent episode, and I was talking to our buddy, podcast friend Kevin, about that movie, and all he did was mention a specific type of special effect that was going to happen once in the movie, and I was furious. I was like, God damn it, man. Now I'm going to spend the whole movie just wondering, oh, is this when that's going to happen? Is this when that's going to happen? I don't want to know shit. I want to know nothing.
If I'm already going to see it, don't tell me anything.
Why
I've
do these
convinced.
People? But some people are just like, oh, it's just a frame of a picture. Like, it's just a picture of like a costume design. Yeah, I don't want to know.
Nope.
Give me the option
anything.
Of not knowing. Anyway, yeah. That's my spoiler tirade with these. Don't bother reading the summaries. Just watch the movies because they're going to tell you everything you don't want to know. Michelle, you're the one who wanted to see this one the most, and I have never seen it before. Tell people your spoiler-free thoughts. Found
yeah,
footage 3D.
Absolutely.
From
so I have,
what year?
2016.
Yeah.
So I have seen this movie a couple of times. I have never actually watched it in 3D, but when I was explaining how I have Shark Boy and Lava Girl glasses, I realized, holy shit, I can watch this movie in 3D. So I'm probably going to go back and do that this weekend. I didn't realize, like, I didn't make the connection. I was like, oh, I have 3D glasses, and I'm going to watch this 3D movie in 2D because I don't think the 3D is really all that important. But yeah, so I had an epiphany, and I'm very excited for my Saturday night plans now. Found footage 3D is not a perfect movie, but I think it's set aside from all the other found footage movies in that it is very meta. It makes fun of itself, and it tells you what is going to happen basically throughout the entire movie. Everything is foreshadowing and kind of mocking the genre while paying homage to it at the same time. There are lots of things that I don't enjoy with it, but as a found footage fan, I just really like kind of just the overall concept of making fun of this process while also doing it. I enjoy that meta approach. The ending really falls apart for me, but some stuff right before it falls apart is great. I did also watch the commentary that's available on Shudder for this that we will talk about later, and I'm going to land on a 3.5 for Found Footage 3D.
Michelle, Found Footage 3D, 3.5. Look, again, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I don't think we've ever talked about it directly, but you've probably deduced that more than any single other element, my enjoyment of a film is crucially rooted in the story, right? I have to buy the story. I have to understand the story. I have to connect with the story. This is a fucking brilliant story. Like, this is a wonderfully original idea in a subgenre that was already desperate for original ideas the moment it became a subgenre, right? It does things that things like you said, like they prefigure what's going to happen in the quote-unquote behind the scenes when they're talking about the movie that, because this is a found footage movie about people trying to make a found footage movie, right? So it's meta on that level. And so while they're talking about the movie the characters are trying to make, they're prefiguring what's going to happen in the behind the scenes. And it's done so well that it took me a minute to really understand and see all the pieces falling together. There are a few moments in this that are exceptionally well done from like a startle, like a scare perspective, the kind of things where but also fun, right? Like they startle you but also in a way where like it's like a holy shit, like a laugh, right? Like there's
exactly.
An element
yep.
of fun to it. I liked this a lot more than I expected to. I do agree there are bits of it that I still have questions about where I'm like, man, this probably could have used another edit through the script. Maybe some of these elements trimmed out a little bit. But overall, I had way more fun with this than I was expecting. And I am also going 3.5.
Awesome. I really thought that this one would surprise you in that way, which is why I'm like, it's not a 5 for me, but I love what it does. And I was hoping that you would too.
Yeah, you get me. It's meta in a way where it's sort of like, I don't even really know what the right word to describe it is. It's a meta that you're aware of, but it's not like forcing it down your throat. It's very skillfully built and put together.
Yes, I enjoyed this movie. I think that if you like found footage, even if this is not a perfect movie and not your favorite movie, I think if you are a found if you are a found footage fan like I am, a 3F-er as we call ourselves, nobody else has ever called me that. I just created it. But if you are a 3F-er, then you should watch this and just enjoy it. It does do a lot of really cool effects on top of all of the meta that I enjoy.
For sure, for sure. So if you're not a if you don't want to have anything spoiled before you see it, this is where you want to pause. Definitely come back and enjoy the discussion with us after you're done. But Michelle, as long as we're at this point, why don't you go ahead and do quick as you always do plot summary for the Jennas of the world.
Yeah. I wonder if she has seen this one. Okay, so
I don't know.
quick.
Well, whether she has or not, she's about to know everything that happens.
Absolutely. So, the basic summary of this is that there's a bunch of people, and they are various members of a film crew, including cast and camera and sound. You know how films are made. And they are deciding to make the first ever found footage 3D film because they're like, oh man, it's a gimmick and people will love it. And we are watching this story told through the lens of a found footage 3D film. Whoa, meta, love it. So they go out to a cabin in the woods, and it's haunted, and a man had previously killed his wife in this cabin. And one of the favorite moments that I know JD had, because he had to put out a Facebook status about it, was that the revelation that they are now
Can I do it
filming.
real quick?
I was gonna say I was hoping you'd know the quote exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know that this is word for word, but it was just a moment where I was like, that was fucking beautiful. The one dude, he's like their sound guy, I believe. Yeah, the boom mic guy, Carl, I think his name was. He's just realizing that, like, this location that they've found and come to shoot this movie is a legitimate urban legend haunted house. And he says to Derek, the director and the producer, he says, "You brought us to a haunted mansion where a man murdered his wife to make a found footage film about a haunted house where a man murdered his wife." And Derek's just like, yeah. I don't know what it was about it. It was so great.
Yeah,
You brought
it's a
us
lot
to
of
a
fun
haunt.
moments.
Yeah, it's this movie has spirit for sure. Anyway, continue.
Spirit and it's haunted.
I didn't even do that on
Well,
purpose.
I'll
I'm
give you
so
credit as though you
clever.
did.
Clever's in my blood. Also, too much sugar.
Yeah, tell me about it. One more note about Carl before we move on. Scott Allen Perry plays Carl, and he has a beautiful IMDb profile picture. Go check that out if you like looking at the cast of things like I do. Okay, so they're all out in this cabin and they're making a movie and some shenanigans. Oh my God, my door just flew open right when I said that. Samwise Gamgee, my cat, just pushed open my door and scared the shit out of me.
I kind of wish we were doing video. If you had seen the expression change on Michelle's face, it was beautiful. I thought
Hi,
I was in my very
Samwise.
own found footage horror movie for a minute. I was like, wait, we're doing a podcast about a found footage movie, about making a found footage movie,
Oh,
and now we
man.
got some found footage shit going on. What the fuck? I'm out of
Jesus.
here. You're on your
Okay.
own. Michelle, just so you know, if
Yeah.
any legitimately spooky ghosty stuff ever starts happening in the background or whatever on your frame while we're watching this,
Yeah.
I'm just disconnecting and going to bed. I'm sorry. I
Oh.
love you, but I'm just.
You have to record it, a la host.
Oh, no, I do not.
Oh,
No.
I
Hey,
would
there's
record it if
Samwise.
something.
Anyway,
Yeah, there's
so we've
Samwise. You see a
completely.
Sam.
The cat has completely
Oh,
derailed the
okay.
podcast. Where were we?
Okay, so one of the things that happens in this movie is that all the cabinet doors fly open when she screams, like my office door just flew open because I have a shenanigan cat who is everywhere right now. Go away. And so A bunch of things start happening. One of my favorites is, like I said, they predict what is about to happen right before it happens. So they're walking through this scene where they are in a barn and they're talking about, oh, a shovel would fall in his head, and they're arguing about how this would work and how it wouldn't be realistic. And then a shovel falls and knocks one of the girls in the head. And it's a great jump scare, and the realization that they just told you exactly what was going to happen. That's the first moment where it's like, oh, you are telling us exactly what will happen. And things keep coming forward like that. Lots of really great effects. The lead actress, Amy, she gets scratched in the arm by an invisible force. They find out that this thing can only be seen on camera. All very great stuff. Near the end, shit goes wacky because Derek and Amy are filming the last scene, or one of the last scenes that they will need for the night, and she murders him with a hammer. And when they open that kitchen door, there is blood everywhere. Way too much blood to come out of one man, theoretically. I don't know for sure. So that's crazy. And then everybody's running around in the woods and they're like, oh man, we're gonna get murdered. And guess what? They do. And then we have their found footage. And that is the movie, essentially, with a small brief intermission from my cat. My heart is still going so fast, and I already have heart problems, so thank you for that, cat. Whew.
Found footage 3D.
Yeah.
No, this is I really, really enjoy it. First of all, I gotta say, when that shovel falls and smacks Lily in the face, like they have literally just set it up, and I have already completely forgotten about the fucking shovel. And
Yep.
it startled me, but I laughed out loud. I was like, holy shit! It was so well done. And that's what we're talking about. That's like, this is the level of skill at play at a lot of points here. Like, that quickly, they were able to show you fucking Chekhov's shovel in the rafters, and then you forget it immediately. The way this movie builds back and forth on itself, like they talk all the time about how one of the biggest problems, like they have this back and forth about how one of the biggest problems is you gotta figure out a legitimate excuse for them to continue filming in the third act. Why do they still have the can? And then they do, right? You can only see the bad guy through the camera. They prefigure so much of this, but what I also love is, like, they do a really great job of separating between the dramatic and the more comedic, right? Like there are moments here where, like, it genuinely starts to feel kind of serious and emotional, and I thought a lot of the stuff they did with the ghost was really good. And the way they explain, like, there's that first sequence where everything is sort of happening in the monitor with the two different camera feeds, and you literally watch the ghost go from one camera feed through that monitor into the other camera feed and then into her. And then they bring that back later on when they're all hugging and whatnot, and you see her face sort of meld for a minute, and then she just max that motherfucker with a hammer just out of nowhere. I do have to say, Michelle, here's what I assume with all the blood in the kitchen. You remember in the chaos that ensues afterwards, first of all, another fucking hilarious moment, that door explodes and just obliterates the horror critic. So fucking good. But I don't know if you noticed, but right after that, Andrew, the camera guy, like the lead production guy, literally just explodes into a jillion pieces because the evil black ghost comes blowing and exploding out of him. I just assume that's what happened to Derek in the other room as well,
Oh,
is he
and
got
see, I thought she
exploded
would
by
stay with the
the.
hammer and
Yeah,
just went
I
ham.
assumed he had been exploded as well. But no, just a really good use of effects, really, really effective horror show. What about the movie went wrong for you to bring it down to just the 3.5? Because I
Yeah.
have my things as well.
Yeah. So, I did make a quick list of all my favorite movie or all my favorite moments from the movie, and everything happens before a certain point. So my entire list of my favorite moments is when the shovel falls and hits her in the head right after talking about jump scares from a shovel falling, when she screams and everything flies out of the cupboards, when Amy whacks him with a hammer, when the journalist gets hit with a door, when the kitchen is a bloodbath, when the smoke monster flies out of the director's chest, or maybe sound guy. I think I wrote that wrong. But all of those
No, it was the
moments.
director. You're correct. The
Was
sound
the
guy
director?
was
Okay.
Carl, who ran away.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I could not remember. So all of those moments, so great. And now we are at the big climax of the movie. They have given us so much stuff up till now that is fantastic. I am ready. Throw everything at me. Show me what you got. And unfortunately, we don't have any of those big moments. What we do have is a side-by-side real-time camera, dual camera story going on. That's pretty cool because you can't watch both cameras at the same time. You're constantly flitting between both of them, trying to see like what which of these is going to have something pop off. And I like that. That's a method we've seen with movies like Host, where you don't know where to look and it keeps you on edge. You can't just get used to the black screen. So that's neat, but nothing really huge happens. The one big thing that happens at the very end, where Amy tells him that she's sorry, but everybody has to die at the end, and then she turns into a weird demon. Did not like that at all. Not even a little bit. It's very unfortunate. Everything up until that point, this was at least a four for me. But just the ending feel falls apart, and it does, you said, it walks that nice line of dramatic versus scary, and it turns way more dramatic at that point. It stops even attempting to be like a scary movie, really. They're just kind of wandering through the woods trying to find each other. And I think it set my expectations so high that I felt disappointed with the ending.
Yeah, I don't entirely disagree, but very similar stuff here. Here's one of the first things is there's sort of a subplot here, or at least I thought there was, where it seemed to me they were making it very obvious that so Derek and Amy are married but separated and in the process of getting divorced, but they're still working on the movie together because they had signed all the contracts before any of this stuff happened. And Mark, who is the behind-the-scenes cameraman, whereas Andrew was the actual movie cameraman, Mark is Derek's brother, and they make it very clear that Mark is now involved with Amy on some level, but nobody knows, right?
I think he has a crush. I don't think they've hooked up.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's possible, I guess, but either way, even if it is just on that level, there's that whole moment where they go out into the woods in the middle of the night because they hear her screaming, and it turns out she's screaming because she's having way too much of a good time.
Yeah,
And then
she
she
is.
comes back and she's with Derek, right? And he sees her with Derek. She comes back the next day. She's got a black fucking eye, apparently, and they talk about it as if it's she claims it's a makeup job, and of course it's not. But he seems to just completely repress that, and he never mentions it, ever. It never gets brought up again at all. He seems completely unfazed by it. We get to the end when all this chaos has been going on, and he's just act like at no point whatsoever does he address that with her, and you would think it's the kind of thing that would be brought up in some way, or at least would
Unless it is
factor back.
unrequited.
Right. Well, what I mean is you would think it would factor back into the plot of this story somehow, even if it was unrequited. You would think that, like, it seemed to me like even if it was unrequited, they were developing a through line there
I see.
that then just got dropped. So
Yeah,
whether they were
I see.
involved or whether it was just a one-sided thing, it did just get dropped, or at least it felt that way to me. But also, and this is, oh, excuse me, this is very similar to a situation we just talked about in Late Night with the Devil, is sometimes there can be a moment in a film that is just so out of tone that it definitely impacts your experience of the movie. And that last scene, like the whole bit when Amy is still possessed by the evil spirit from the from the haunted house, and Mark goes back, and she ends up turning into the demon and killing him. It felt very spoon-fed and ham-fisted the way she talked about it. Like, it was so dragged on. It's like, you remember, you know, the last... Because they had talked about it before, and she's like, the last rule of a found... Like, that is not... That was such a forced moment and felt so unnatural to me.
Telling him to pick up the camera first,
yeah, and,
too.
And how, just the way she... Like, she specifically says, mm-hmm. like, the thing about how, you know, nobody survives. Like, in a horror movie, everybody dies. Or in a found footage movie, everybody dies. It was just so on the nose, right? Like, if she had just said, you remember the rules, right? And then just, like, he's just kind of looking at her. And then she just, like, assaults him and that's the end. But it was mm-hmm. so protracted and it really... took a lot away from the experience for me. Overall, though, great effects. That sequence when they're watching the video that apparently the ghost shot, and they mention each person's like, oh, maybe it was so-and-so. Nope, there they are. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was so-and-so. Nope, there they are. And then you just watch those wounds appear on her arm out of nowhere. Really effective. Like, this is real. Here's what this is. I am definitely, definitely interested in seeing what this guy, Steven DeGennaro, who wrote and directed this, I'm definitely interested in seeing what he does next, because there's some really, really, really noticeable talent at play here, both in the story writing and the directing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is his first and only so far feature-length film. Everything else has been...
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he is a part of Pendulum, which has been on my list for a while. I just haven't found a place that's streaming it. It might have even been a festival thing and it's not out yet, but he does one segment from that and it's an anthology film. So I also would love to see more from this person and see what they can give me. Because for this being a first film, like, holy shit, you knew what you were doing. You figured it out. Good job. Give me more.
So... They did mention, this is something I wanted to ask, so there's a moment in the script, or in the movie rather, where one of the people is ranting, I think it's Andrew, the film director, he's ranting about how found footage movies are junk anyway, and they never name them, but he says there's only ever been two good ones.
Yep.
That has to be Blair Witch Project and Paranormal Activity, right?
Yes.
Because those are the two that were these tiny budget phenomenon films. It's got to be. Okay.
I agree.
The way it, like you said, it's meta, but the way it plays the meta in between, it's a very unique style of meta. Like, it doesn't feel too forced until we get to that point at the end where it feels too forced. Mm-hmm. It very cleverly plays between the two. I also like that never at any point whatsoever is the movie about the husband who murdered his wife there and the idea that the cabin is haunted. You know, they never explore that side of it at all, except in the sense of that's the reasoning behind there is some evil presence here that's influencing what's going on here. But we never get any more of the backstory of it than that. Just, this is a cabin where some terrible shit happened and people believe there's a ghost. And all we see is the influence of that on this modern thing. It does open an interesting door for a potential sequel.
Ooh, found footage 2 3D, and then it's in 6D.
No, I think it would be found footage 3D 2 chapter 1.
I was going to say, but then you can't multiply. As well, you have to cross multiply, but yes, I agree. Add all the, and it's in Roman numerals. One of the things that you kind of touched on a little bit is kind of one of the things that also stuck with me. And that's how when they're talking about the plot of this movie that they're making, they're like, oh, well, what does the entity actually wind up being? And they're like, oh, we should never explain it. Just let them guess. Is it the physical manifestation of the conflict between these two? And then you're giving that reason for why Derek and Amy are fighting so much and why things
Yes.
escalate. And that's kind of where I lean with this, is that this monster is a manifestation. And I love that they put that in your head enough to think about it, and think about the possibilities, but never tell you what it is, so you can't pick apart that argument. It's
Right.
just, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, this
Because
is the thing.
another movie would have been so concerned with trying to tie these two stories together, right? You see that so much, in especially in haunting and ghost story movies, where they try to draw parallels and run like the original story and the present story and how they parallel each other and what, all that sort of thing. This movie very cleverly understands that we don't have to look at that story because the story isn't about how this parallels that. All that is a catalyst to bring in the idea of there's some dark energy here, and then all the rest of it tells its own story. It is really, really, really well written. There are, like I said, I feel like if the guy did, if De Janeiro had maybe had time or was able to take maybe just one or two more passes through the script on this, it could be tightened up to a fantastic film, but even as it is, it's really enjoyable from a story standpoint.
Yeah, and
Very
again,
clever and
for a
unique and
first movie,
original.
it's
Yeah.
so good. I did watch the commentary that's available on Shudder, so I have a
I
couple
didn't even
things of
realize that
notes.
was available. I do want to go back and watch that.
Yeah. It is only Steven De Janeiro doing the commentary, and we kind of talked about this with William Friedkin on The Exorcist, how having a commentary where it's just one person talking, unfortunately, doesn't often work for me. I do like the back and forth. So there's not you're not gonna have like mind-blowing moments, but there were a couple things that I liked. One of them is right at the beginning of the movie, he's saying something about like, oh, well, that doesn't make sense. And then he's like, well, there are a lot of things that don't make sense in this movie. I love that realization from his own end. And that it's not like a scripted moment. That's just him talking, but I'm like, I like that you understand the
Well,
criticisms of your own
and
film.
even that is a commentary on the film we are watching. Yeah, there is a lot of stuff in this film that doesn't make sense, but there's enough to tie it all together to create the experience. I really, really liked the story here. I can't say that enough.
I do wish the commentary had had some like mind-blowing revelations, because he says things like, oh, well, there's an Easter egg here. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And he does that a couple times. I'm like, but I'm watching the commentary. Tell me what it is. So it's a lot of like telling you more like the behind the scenes stuff. I'm like, no, what is the Easter egg? I didn't see it. I still don't see it.
Now,
What's the Easter
now
egg?
I really gotta listen to this commentary so I know I can go back and try to solve the Easter egg puzzles.
Yes, please. If you figure it out, let me know, because I have no
Speaking,
idea. I have no idea.
just before I forget, I'm not gonna give it away here on the episode, but I keep meaning to ask you, and so we'll talk about it after we're done recording. Did you catch the OG Edward Woodward Wicker Man reference in Late Night with the Devil?
I don't remember, so probably not.
Okay. Yeah,
Okay.
it's a really cleverly placed Easter egg, and we'll talk about it after we're done.
Okay.
But those of you who are listening, see if you haven't seen Late Night with the Devil yet, when you see it, see if you can find the cuz it like
Wow,
this is not a spoiler.
spoiler
It is
alert.
it, no, th it is
I
so
know.
well hidden. When I tell you where it is, you'll be like, "Oh, that's clever."
Yeah, because I don't remember. My last special note from the commentary is because you brought up, like, she's having sex and now she has a black eye all of a sudden, and that's just how it is for the rest of the movie. And he said that one of the things that is cool in the commentary, he talks about screening and how they made adjustments afterwards because, like, people didn't understand Mark and Derek were brothers, so they had to make that very apparent, and they just went through and made these changes. One of them, apparently there was a scene showing how Amy got that black eye, but when they showed it to audiences, they hated Derek so much from that point forward that they had to remove it, and it was just implied that something happened. So I want to hear more about that scene, but apparently, like, he's the one who gives her that black eye, and audiences were furious and could not be on his side even a little bit, because up to that point he's definitely an asshole, but, like,
Wait.
he's getting his movie made. But
were we ever on Derek's side?
well, this is what I mean. Like, he's not a good guy, but he's making a movie. He's not like a demon incarnate, potentially, I
He's
guess, with that smoke monster.
I okay, so what you're saying is he's an asshole, but he's not punching women in the face.
Exactly. A different
Okay.
level of asshole.
Yeah,
So
I get
then
what you
they're
say.
like,
Okay, yeah.
we don't even want to look at this guy anymore because he
Yeah.
just did that to her.
Well,
So,
and
yeah.
to be fair, maybe there are some things your movie doesn't need to do explicitly. You know,
Yeah. When I watched
it's
this,
just fine.
I totally thought it was a rough sex moment. They never show you. So I was like, oh, she fell and hit herself on a log. Like, I never even considered, like, Derek hit her in the face. That was not a thing I
Well, and
considered.
yeah,
I'm so
and well,
innocent.
now it does make me curious though, is it like did they like have a fight and he hit her and then that ultimately led to the sexual encounter, or did he just like haul off and
Ooh.
smack her while they were doing it, or like what? I was
I'm gonna have to find out if Steven DeGeniro, I did not look up how to pronounce it. I'm so sorry. I'm putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. I know it. But if they have a Twitter, I am going to have to tweet at them and be like, I have questions. Can you please answer them as a fan of your film,
Can
please?
we, can we, can we
Give us
please,
more stuff.
can you maybe just like shoot us footage of the scene? Show us what you cut?
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
I did,
Is there
I
a
won't
director's
name
cut?
drop, but I did have our person who we talk to on Twitter all the time sent me his script from the stuff that didn't air, and that's on my weekend
Oh,
reading list. Yeah, I'm trying to be
yeah.
vague and, like, make it sound so cool, but I
I
did
still
get, like,
need to
secret
watch that. I
footage.
feel terrible that I
Sorry.
haven't found time to go check it out, but I will
Yeah, I've
definitely
been
be doing
waiting
that
until,
soon.
like, a good night to read the script and, like, get it. It's so exciting.
Sweet.
Yeah, audience does not get to know. That's our Easter egg. That's our
Yeah.
Easter egg.
All right, you got anything else to say about Found Footage 3D, Michelle?
Oh, no, I just want more. I want more. Give me
Yeah,
more.
I legitimately wouldn't mind a sequel to this. I would be curious to see some of that previous story, and I like the idea of it just being its own movie, and just knowing like, oh yeah, this is the evil presence that influenced this whole thing. I you know what I like about this? Well, I can't say that because it'll give something away about another movie that we talked about recently. It's another thing I'll have to tell you. Off the air. I gotta go to the pharmacy before it closes because it's Easter
Me
weekend,
too.
Michelle.
I
So
also
we
have to
should
go to the
probably
pharmacy.
wrap this one up.
Okay.
Say good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media at WeWatchShudder on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I guess Twitter if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us. Mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address. Mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really. 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.